In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to understand your word. Let the word of your scripture take root within our hearts. Help us always to live according to that word. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on with the last little bit of Revelation chapter 5. So this is chapter 5, verse 11. So we only have four more verses to go in this last little section. Remember where we are, that we've done Revelation 4, which was the appearance, John entering into the heavenly temple, filled with Old Testament imagery. Then we got into Revelation 5, in which we now finally see the Lamb, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb that was standing as though it had been slain. So then we get all the New Testament imagery. So we're waiting for someone who would be worthy to open the seals. And then we get to this final little part, and the Lamb has appeared, and now we get this verse 11. So John then says, "Then I looked, and I heard around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.'" Let me go back to this expression of myriads and thousands. Now, what this is the voice of angels. So here we see these angels. So far, we've only met the one standing on the throne, the Father, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the four living creatures, and the 24 elders. Remember, the 24 elders were part of that priestly group of 24 clans that would either do temple service and then another 24 clans that would sing. They were the temple singers. And now we get this much larger group of angels gathered around the throne. And then just this term myriad, I did make a little note in the handout for Revelations 4 and 5 about the words for thousand and 10,000. The word 10,000, or the word thousand, comes from Kilius is probably how that would be recited. And that's actually related to something you know. What do you call 1,000 meters? 1,000 meters is a kilometer. A kilometer. So Kilius, okay, it's just, we instead of the Greek letter chi, C-H-I, we would just bring that in with a K. So kilo, a kilo, for example, kilometers, kilograms is a thousand. So it comes from the word for thousand. So you're actually very familiar with that already from the metric system. Now that word isn't necessarily per se important for this passage, except that then you get the word for 10,000 in Greek, and that's not kilios but murios. And so that word murios is where we get the English word myriad. And so they say myriads of myriads. When they're describing the number of angels that are there. So technically what we see here is myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. And so that would be 10,000 times 10,000, which would be 100 million, and 1,000 times 1,000, which is 1,000,000. Now, rather than precisely determining these things in that type of a numerical sense, like 101 million is how that would be numerically. Okay, but that's not really the point. Notice how it's, you'd think that in Old Testament times, and in ancient times, you'd have that notion like 1,000 of something would be a lot, and 10,000 would really be a lot. So, you know, we make up numbers like billions and trillions and so forth nowadays, you know. But back then, 1,000 or 10,000, that's just an innumerable number, an unimaginable number. And then if you were to say myriads of myriads, in other words, 10,000s of 10,000s, is just so beyond comprehension. So it's a way of expressing just an extraordinarily large number of things. Now, let me say something else about that expression, is that they say thousands of thousands upon thousands, or thousands of thousands and so forth. That whole expression, have you heard from the Latin, you remember that expression, in saecula saeculorum? Into the ages of the ages, which is sort of a way that we say, forever and ever, you know, is a kind of way to describe that. Now, that's a specific just kind of linguistic term. It's the same type of grammatical concept that's here. So, into the ages of the ages, thousands of thousands, tens of thousands of ten thousands. And so it's just it's a way of amplifying that in order to just emphasize the largeness of the number or the length of the ages, meaning forever and ever, for all time. So that's the expression that you have there. So there's one scripture passage I gave you which was kind of, I think, just helpful for that, just because it uses these exact same numbers. It's 1 Samuel chapter 18. I gave you that passage. If you read through that passage, it's a point at which David and Saul, remember King Saul, and then his armor-bearer, who was David, there was a certain amount of jealousy, because as they would go about doing what they did and fighting the Philistines and protecting the Israelites, Saul was known for being a great conqueror. He slew many of their enemies. But David was known for even being a greater conqueror. He slew even more than Saul did. Remember, it was David, not Saul, who was the one who conquered Goliath. And so what can, as so often happens, jealousies can creep in, where you say, well, who is he that, you know, he gets more honor or more glory than I? I'm the king. Saul can say, I'm the king, but David is given more honor. So they, so at that time, there were people who sang a song. They made a little song and they sang that Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. So you get that same word, kilios and murios. 10,000 being just such a huge number in their way of thinking. And so what this did was made Saul angry. But it's the same words that we see there in this passage there. There was also another, I gave you Philippians 2. We're going to get to that in just a second, because that will relate to something we'll see in just a moment. So let's continue with Revelation 5:11. So we see all these myriads and thousands of angels. We're on to verse 12. What are they doing? They're saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." Now, how many things is that? We'll count again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. Number one, power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, blessing is seven. Okay. And I don't think that's accidental either. So now you have the fullness of all of these blessings that are due to the Lamb because the Lamb is worthy, because the Lamb has conquered. So it's almost like a litany. It's just overflowing with praise and adulation to the Lamb for all the things that the Lamb has done. And then after that, we hear not just simply the angels, but then verse 13, "Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, to him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." So now you have all creation praising. How many things do they praise the Lamb with? Be blessing, honor, glory, might. It's only four. Well, that's okay. That's okay. Not seven, but that's not everything seven. You get used to sort of looking for everything being seven or three, and every now and then you get surprised there a little bit. Now, think about all of creation. Remember, there's the distinction. This is Revelation chapter 5. We're doing these last few verses. Verses 11 and 12, it's the angels praising, so all these numbers of angels. And then, verse 13, we now get all the rest of creation. And it's that interesting expression. It says, every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth and in the sea. This is part of where I brought in Philippians chapter 2, so that Philippians passage that I gave you. Let me just read the last part of that. "Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him every name which is above, the name which is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus," and you remember this passage probably as well, "in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." So the Philippians canticle that I gave you, that Philippians chapter 2, it's one in which all of creation praises the name of Jesus Christ for what Jesus has done. And how is it described? Every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Revelation puts it in kind of the same way. He says, every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and in the sea. There's even more than just under the, in the sea as well gets added on. And so what is it that they say? Blessings to the one who sits upon the throne, to the Father, and to the Lamb, so that way all creation confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Son and praise the Father. Verse 14, and the four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshipped. Now, we've been talking a little bit about how the book of Revelation is so liturgical. You can almost hear that this has now come to an end. It's like we come up into the temple in chapter 4, and then we end chapter 5 with Amen. Okay, so there, it has now been said. So let it be. It is true. Another way of expressing that. And so here they are reciting these canticles, singing these hymns. You can almost hear it's kind of a lyrical nature as they're chanting and singing and praising God with the recitation Amen at the end as they bow down and as they worship before God and before the Lamb. And so that finishes off Revelation chapter 5.